We started last week in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to try and finish up Daniel chapter 10 today, and then if we have time, we'll move on to Daniel chapter 11. I'm not sure that we're going to, but you can flip along into Daniel, so find Daniel in your Bibles. And we're in Daniel chapter 10, as I mentioned. Looking at some of the things that we saw the concern of Daniel in 1 through 3, and then we saw the coming of a certain man in 4 through 9. The coming of a certain man there was the appearance of an angel, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I do not think, in fact I know, that we seldom see the huge spiritual warfare that is going on is spiritually. In fact, I can tell you it's going on this morning because I can tell you right now that if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's demons who are trying to get you to close your ears, demons trying to get you so you don't listen and not pay attention to your need in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then there's God's angels that are here and trying to prompt you, and the Holy Spirit trying to prompt you that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, Satan has a big plan. Now hold your finger in Daniel chapter 10 and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, it'll be familiar to a number of you. It's underlined and circled in my Bible. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost." That's what Satan wants to do. That's what his demons' missions are, is to keep the truth of God's word away from you and have you not believe it. I mean, that goes back as far as Eden. The devil in Eden said, "Yea, hath God said," trying to get Eve to doubt what God said. And that's what the devil is doing today. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost." And here it is. "In whom the god of this world," who's the god of this world? It's the devil. "Hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." But I'll tell you what, we're just going to preach the gospel. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord." So we're just going to preach Jesus, and we're praying the devil will be held back today so that if you're not saved, you'll come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Looking at Daniel chapter 10 now, we're going to be looking at the communication of the angel in 10 through 12. So back to Daniel chapter 10 and in verses 10 through 12, and it says, "Behold, a certain man touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." So he was on all fours there because he had completely passed out. The presence of an angel. It's very interesting when you see the presence of an angel. Our world tries to get you to think that angels are not what they are according to the scriptures. Evil angels are powerful and evil, and good angels are powerful and righteous. I'm thinking of what the Apostle John, when he was confronted by the angel, he fell down on his face and started to worship the angel because he thought it was God. But the angel listened up and said, "I'm just a messenger of God, just like you. Stand up. Don't do that." It says, "And he said unto me," back to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 11, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent?" And when he spoke this word unto me, I stood trembling. I stood trembling. Then in verse 12, "Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." I reminded you last week, and I don't know how many of you did it, but you need to read Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 12 together, because they are a unified section. And today, as we look at the communication of an angel, when Daniel is confronted with this angel, what does he do? He falls flat on his face. I just want to tell you, once again, that we need to understand that angels are God's messengers to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. Those are the good angels. The bad angels, guess what? They're sent to distract us from doing the Lord's will. They're sent to try and get us to ruin our testimonies, trying to get us to live after the flesh, get us to live after the world, to get us to live after the devil. There is a spiritual battle going on. God doesn't want you Christians, us Christians who have good testimonies, to retain those good testimonies, because He wants people to blaspheme and say, ha, he's supposed to be a Christian. Look what he did. She's supposed to be a Christian. Look what she did. Ah, they aren't Christians at all. There's no difference between Christianity and the world. They're just a bunch of holy rollers. The devil wants to destroy your testimony. He's an angel of light, and he's the one walking about seeking whom he may devour. In verse 10, the angel helps Daniel, helps him up to his hands and knees. And I think this is great. Here's what it says. Daniel is addressed as a man greatly beloved. This is the second time that address happens, because back in 923, we have a similar address. Why the title, greatly beloved? Although that's not explained, if you followed through the book of Daniel and read the book of Daniel, it's easy to see that Daniel was a man of God who was going to stand for the Lord no matter what. Daniel, when he was told he could only pray to the pagan gods, you know what he did? He did the same thing he did every day. He opened his windows, he faced to Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day at the peril of his life. I mean, they threaten Daniel and they throw him, they trick the king, they throw him in the lion's den. And Daniel, guess what? He stands for the Lord. He didn't know whether the lions were going to eat him or whether the lions weren't going to eat him. Why is he called a man greatly beloved of the Lord? I just believe it is because he is a man of character. He was a man of God. He stood at the peril of his life, and God knew that he could trust Daniel to do what he told him to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you the type of man? Are you the type of woman that God can trust you to do what he tells you to do? Say, well, I haven't heard any audible voice. Wait a minute, I didn't say that. You know where he tells us what to do or supposed to do? Right here in the book. Right here in the book. Can God trust you to do what he tells you to do? You're probably sick of it, but, you know, God tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right in this book. And he expects us to do what he tells us to do. The Apostle Paul writes, when he gets before the Lord, he hopes to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Friends, we are living in a day of darkness, and we need Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls who are going to stand for the Christian world and life view, despite being in this era of compromise when it seems very simple for Christians to be able to just be soft when the Lord clearly articulates how he wants us to live. Don't men you dare, don't you dare compromise when God very clearly needs men of the Lord who will stand clearly before their families and live for the Lord. Be a woman of God who will stand very clearly let her family see her standing before the Lord. Even though the pressures are on us, what will you do? Why is that important? Because me and you and every solitary believer will stand before the Lord and give account of himself to the Lord. And I know that I'm not doing it right, but God ain't good at taking excuses. In fact, he ain't going to take none. He won't take any. God who created us, God who recreated us if we're born again, gives us a manual and tells us to order our life by it. Whew, when you think about that, what a responsibility. But that is why, twice, Daniel is referred to as a man greatly beloved. Satan does not want people to know God's word. And verse 11 tells us that Daniel was made to stand on his feet, and though he trembled, why was Daniel supposed to stand at his feet at attention? Well, back when I was in ROTC, when the officers addressed us, you know what? Unless they told us otherwise, you know what we're supposed to do? Here comes the major again. Oh, boy. KP for 12 weeks. You were supposed to stand at attention, and he would tell you. And you know what we were supposed to say? Sir! Yes, sir! God had a message for Daniel, and when you're standing at attention, you are listening. Give attention to the Word of God. Be listening to the Word of God, because God has instructions for us. In verse 12, Daniel was told not to be afraid. And the angel says, look, I was dispatched the very first day. When you first started to pray, I was dispatched the very first day, 3 weeks earlier. But here it is. Here it is. However, Satan and his demons hindered that angel. Satan and his demons, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, he does not want people to know God's word. It is very, very interesting how today there are so many people who do not want to hear God's word. They don't want to hear it. They do not know, and they do not care about God's word. In fact, it's like they're going, la, 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 la. You know, the problem is, that's bad enough. But you know, there's a lot of Christians who are going, la, 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 la. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to listen to you, Father. I don't want to listen to you, Jesus. No, 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 no. I want to do my own thing. Woo, doggies. Do you realize what you're saying? There was a huge battle over that. They sent Michael. Let's look at 10:13, if we might, back to Daniel and see what's going on. And it says, and the prince of the king of Persia withstood me for 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. And I remained with the kings of Persia. Man, oh man. Michael is one of God's chief princes. Who's the other one? Probably Gabriel, but we don't know a whole lot because God has many cherubims, seraphims, archangels, So the only ones that we know the names of are Michael and Gabriel. Now, we know the names of some bad ones. Beelzebub is one of them. We'll look at that in a minute. But in verse 20, it says this, "And then said he, Knowest thou whereof I am come unto thee? And now I will return. I will return to fight the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Here's the deal. Demons are assigned to governments. Demons are assigned to governments. These two verses give us a rare glimpse into the unseen world of evil angels and the conflict that rages between evil angels and good angels. Satan and his minions do everything they can hinder to hinder God's working. Man, oh man, you can see that going on right in our own country. You can see that going on clearly in Russia. You know how it begins. They begin, and I'm just telling you, you can like it, you can lump it, you can stand on your head, but one of the first things when you see the devil's angels getting the upper hand is they begin to persecute Christians and outlaw God's word and try and get that out of the culture. And along with that, then they try and disarm the citizens so that they can't fight back. And then the only ones that are left that have the guns are the bad guys. Boy, oh boy, they're doing a pretty good job in the United States of America. They've thrown God out of the schools. They're trying to get... I was just listening to the lady the other day. She is kicking up a fuss because they got "In God We Trust" on... it's right there above. If you watch, it's right there in the House. It's right there in the Senate. If you take out your money, it doesn't say "In Pope We Hope." It says "In God We Trust." It says it in on our coins, and I just can't understand these atheists who are trying to kick up such a fuss, and they don't believe that there's a God. So if they don't believe that there's God, what's the big deal about saying there's a God if there isn't one anyway? But you can see, there's demonic warfare going on. And that's what's going on in our government. Satan wants to do anything and everything. Look at the decimation. Look at the decimation of the families. Here's what's going on in our culture right now. So many fatherless and increasingly more motherless households. God made one man for one woman for one lifetime, and their purpose was to procreate and have children. You got so many who are not having kids at all. They make no commitment to each other. And then the ones who do have, divorce rate is down a little bit, but the reason the divorce rate's down a little bit is because so many people aren't bothering to get married. I'm just going to tell you, if you do it biblically, if you do it rightly, you make a commitment to your spouse. That's what happens. That's what's right. And so what's wrong with our culture? Well, I'm just going to say it. They have gotten away from obeying the principles of the Word of God. God knows what sustains a society because the first organism that God ever created was the family. And He made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam, Eve, Susie, and Patricia. No, one man and one woman. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He didn't make Adam and he said, "Oh, I got to get in touch with my feminine side." No. You have a law now. One state that's made a law. You can see the demons working. I'm just telling you, you can see the demons working today. In that state, they can't get their ears pierced without their parents' permission. They can't get tattoos without their parents' permission. But they can take hormones that will help change their gender. If that isn't the devil, I don't know what is. And we are the bad guys because we say, "Whoa! And I do say, stop! You know, I've had a DNA test. And one of the things for sure, I am a male. Now, Linda's had a DNA test. Glory be. She's a female. Amen. But you know, it all stopped, all kidding aside. If there would have been Adam and Steve, that would have lasted one generation, and that would have been it. That would have been it. I mean, how idiotic can you get? But that's the thing. That is the spiritual battle that is going on in our culture today. And woe unto them, the Bible says, that call evil good and good evil, that put light for darkness and darkness for light. I'll tell you, that is where we were at. And it was being revealed to Daniel what the future is going to hold. And the devil didn't want Daniel to know and to write what the future was going to hold. The devil wants to keep you ignorant. We know that Michael's an archangel because in Jude chapter 1, verse 9, he's called that, and he leads God's heavenly army. If you just turn to Revelation, there's only one, and then turn back a little bit, there's only one little chapter there. And it's very interesting. We're going to look about angels here. We're going to go all the way back to verse 6. I'm going to be talking about the judgment of angels this evening. You're going to want to come out because it dovetails with this message like major. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. We're going to talk about that this evening. It says, even as or like as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions and speak evil of dignities. And then verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, there was another fight. Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring, it says, durst not bring against him railing accusations, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. I just want to tell you something. If Michael, the archangel, is not going to bring railing accusations against the devil, but says the Lord rebuke thee, then all these idiots who tell you to go around and rebuke the devil, they're playing with fire. That's why I would never do in the 20 years that I dealt with the occult. Somebody said, well, and I still get calls to this day, would you do an exorcism on my son or would you do an exorcism on my daughter? I said, not a chance. Like I am going to contend with the devil myself? Are you kidding me? If Michael the archangel isn't going to do it, I certainly am not going to do it. And besides that, even though an exorcism might be able to be done, if the person is not a believer, then we're told in the scriptures that it'll get seven times worse because he'll find it clean and washed and bring back seven of his friends. See the way. And when I dealt with a demon-possessed young man, and I've done that, I got a bunch of people praying and asking the Lord to restrain the forces of darkness. And you know what I did when I went into a psychiatric room there? I had all these people praying. What I did was not go, "Hey, Castro!" Are you kidding me? What I did was calmly shared the gospel, saturated it with scripture, and the young man came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because once you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Christians can give ground to the devil, but the devil has to leave when they resist the devil by the blood of the Lord and by the word. He has to leave. The prince of Grecia, the prince of Persia, three times Satan is called the prince of this world. Once he's called the prince of the devils. I've got all the documentation in your notes there. One time the name Beelzebub is attributed to somebody, and I think Beelzebub's another name for Satan, but there's that. But here's the whole point. Here's the whole point is the prince of Grecia, the prince of Persia. These are the demons that are assigned to the leaders of those nations. And when leaders do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're susceptible to implementing the devil's program. Be reminded, Christians, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I need to stop here this morning because it's coming to the Lord's table, but I want to tell you this. If you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, please listen to me. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a prime target of the devil. The devil wants you in hell. He doesn't care how religious you are. He does not care how religious you are. You can be the most... I remember talking with a lady years ago, and she said, I'm more spiritual than you are! Because I was trying to witness to her about Christ, and she was not liking it very good. I said, oh, why do you say that? She says, I go to Mass every day. And she did. She went to Mass every day. You know what that does for you? Nothing! Jesus did not say, I instruct you to go to Mass every day, crucify me afresh every day, drink my blood every day, eat the host, which is my body, every day, be a cannibal. No, no, no. Jesus said, I am the way, meaning the only way. I am the truth, meaning the only truth that's going to save you. I am the life, the only way to have eternal life. Listen to this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please throw away your good works. Please throw away your religious affiliation and trust Jesus. If you're a believer and you're going, la, 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 I'm going to do what I want to do, Lord. I'm going to do what I want to do, Lord. I'm going to do. You might as well just bend over and stick it out there, man. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he will. You might think you're getting away with it now. But I'm telling you, the goodness of God leads to repentance, but God will finally get sick of it and say, it's time for the woodshed. He will. He will.